You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
And welcome to What's Cooking in the 321 at WWBC. I am in the studio with my fave, my favorite co-host. I love you, Stephanie, but I love when Maestro Mark is here because Maestro Mark is, you tell everybody who you are. And welcome, welcome. How do you like the new digs in the studio?
You know, everyone, if I stop talking, it's because I've fallen asleep in this beautiful new chair. It is so comfy.
I'm going to put some pictures.
Oh, because, it's a lumbar here support. Oh, this is nice. This is nice.
You know, everybody always says, oh, you do a podcast. And I'm like, no, we're in like a vintage studio. Absolutely. And it is cool. It's, you know, we've got the mics in the face. But, yeah, we're decking now. We're doing well. I love the new studio look. And thank you, Danny. Engineer Danny there. And so you like it. You like the new digs.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah. I walked in. At first, I said, wow, where'd the chairs come from?
So is the chair as comfy as the old ones that we're all worn in, though? Because I don't know. I just still can't get comfy here a little bit.
There are parts of me that fit real well in that chair. So I have to, it's sort of, I have to stake my claim. I've got to mark my chair.
That's right. Etch my bar stool. It's Masa. I got to put my name on the back of
there
it.
There you go.
So, perfect. Mark, tell everybody, though, you are the conductor, Maestro Mark.
I'm the conductor of the Melbourne Community Orchestra, music educator in Brevard for 40 years, originally from the New York, New Jersey area. Doing stuff like that. I do clinician work still. I do all county and all state groups and get out, still get into schools working with kids.
And to me, let me just tell you who Mark is. So I have partners that I do events with over and over and over through the years and through the years. But I say this, and especially the city, because, you know, I'm city and state. And I'm talking about the Melbourne Auditorium because that's sort of your home. That's where you do your concerts and you practice and what
the
have you.
But behind there, yes.
I say this and I truly mean this. You are my favorite event. And that is no lie. Danny, help me. I say it on every show, even when Mark's not here.
Yes, you do.
It is, you know, I love what I do. I take pride in what I do. At the same time, it is a business.
Sure.
I make more money per hour on your events than anything I do.
Well, you know, we love having you there.
And it's consistent.
And we want to, I mean, you know, we want to support. In our program, at intermission, it says, go to the bistro.
Go to the bistro.
It's in the program.
So when you do something that no one else does, if we have, I mean, sometimes we have lines. I like to say we blow through that line, okay? Nobody's got to wait a long time.
Really,
but sometimes we have lines because, I mean, what's our capacity? I think we can put 1,600 people in there. I think we've had more than that at some points. But you'll say, take your time. We'll wait for you to get what you want before we start again.
And I'll improvise.
Who does that?
I'll improvise.
Who
I'll get
does
there.
That? Yeah.
Well, sometimes our intermissions get a little bit longer, but, you know, I have confidence that I can work around it, talk to the audience. Well, look, when we did our road trip, I went out in the audience and was taking selfies with people saying, come on, you're taking a road trip with me.
There you go.
And then we posted all those pictures. So, yeah, we'll find a way to make it work.
So I was trying to get Noelle here today because I know she writes and does a lot of scripting. Because one thing I want to tell you guys about the orchestra, you know, at first when I was like, oh, I got to do the orchestra, I'm like, oh, that's going to be lame. That's going to be like piano that we don't know any of the songs and all of that. No, wrong, Kim. Okay, this is like music we know. You guys do such great writing. It is like a stage play. And I mean, come on, you've done the Caribbean. What?
Pirates of the Caribbean,
which was hilarious.
We did a Clue game where we had a detective in there.
That's right. And the writing is awesome. So it's not just music, boring music. You come in. It is a show. There's laughter. It's just good.
There's a lot of laughter and great engagement
yeah.
with the audience.
And of all ages.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, we could have little kids dancing in the aisles. You know, we have young kids with their grandparents. It's just amazing.
So I just love it. And then we have a VIP section. I call it my poo-poo platter. I had Tyrus, and he came in, and his entourage comes in, and they're like, you know, the guy came over to the side, and he said to me, now you realize who you're cooking for. You know, it's got to be great. And I go, did you just say that to me? I go, I cook the same for everybody. But I said, my God, I do poo-poo platters for VIPs at the orchestra. You know, I'm telling
right.
this guy that. And at the end of the time, the very last thing that Tyrus said to me was, next time I want to get that poo-poo platter.
Boom. There it is.
But we do hors d'oeuvres. Sometimes we do beef Wellingtons, little beef Wellingtons, and homemade spumoni ice cream.
That's amazing.
You know, we block off this little area. We have tablecloths, and we make it cool, and it's nice. And because the one thing I want all the listeners out there, this orchestra runs on donations, which is sort of cool. Nobody's getting paid to play. So why do people come out and play? They just love what they do. I mean, what is the typical person who joins the orchestra? What is their reasoning for joining? Because obviously they're not getting paid.
Right. And lots of times it's a passion that maybe they had in high school.
Okay.
I mean, we have somebody who last played in eighth grade 30 years ago.
How are they? Are they still
good?
Well,
you know something?
A little rusty?
Well, what we say is, you know, come on board.
Yeah.
Right now, play what you can.
Yeah.
It will get better. It's a process. It's not a professional orchestra. And the process, it helps that I was an educator. I'm still an educator. You know, if I could just pass out the music, they could play it perfectly. Well, heck, they don't need me and they don't need all the rehearsals.
Yeah.
So it's, and I tell people, don't be in fear of, you know, there's a lot of notes and you see like new people with their eyes so wide open. You know, we make sure that we talk to them afterwards. We have section leaders talking like, it's a process.
So
next week will be a little bit better than this week. The next week will be better than that.
And crazy question. I've met musicians who couldn't read music. Does everybody in an orchestra, though, have to read music? That's probably something they have
yeah.
to do, right?
Yeah, although we've had some people that are very weak music readers
yeah.
that have gotten better.
Listen, I'm terrible at any kind of music. I can't even keep a tune.
You
know, my brother's a musician. He got all of the ability because I can't even click or tap my hand at the right beat. So I have no tone deaf. I'm at
I need
all.
To come back there and dance with you then. I'll get you moving. I'll get you
now,
moving
you know
with the right beat.
I do dance back there. Yeah, that's right. You know, I love to dance.
I
love to dance. I dance for anything. I got to tell you, I miss dancing in my kitchen. That's for sure. So I had somebody on the show 2 weeks ago, and because I have this great idea, and that's why I reached out to Noel today.
She has to work for a living. Do you believe that?
Oh,
like,
gosh,
like
that's awful.
70 hours
somebody
a week.
Works.
What's going on with that?
Who works? Since COVID, nobody wants to work. What are they talking
about?
Well,
I thank God every day that she works.
So I'm going to hold that thought of what I reached out to Noel because I want to talk about work. I'm going to jump. This
okay.
is how I am, wishy-washy Kim, these days. I just had somebody at my – and Danny, pull a mic up. I want you in on this one. Okay. This is – the most terrible thing happened. We opened the colleges back up on the 12th. Okay. So, you know, the places have been sitting for 2-3 months since college got out for the summer. And so we got to come in and we got to clean everything, you know, top to bottom. You just got to wipe everything
sure.
and you got to clean everything. And then you got to get the stock in. So I put a little feeler out there hiring. So I hired somebody and it just didn't work out. I mean, the first thing was they were no call, no show, like twice. And there was just a lot of issues. And I'm not going to bash anybody, but you just know when somebody comes on board if they're not going to be that fit. And I actually really liked them when I first met them. So I was as surprised as everybody. But the next thing, paid in full, but they went onto Facebook's Palm Bay neighborhood and trashed me. I mean, what? They went on there and said I was just the worst piece of garbage, didn't pay her, do this, didn't do that. None of it. None of it had any truth to it whatsoever. So that doesn't bother me because, I mean, it bothers me, but I can't even give that a second of my attention.
You can't control.
Because whenever you have to let somebody go, and I always say we never fire anybody. Somebody fires themselves.
Absolutely.
They are the ones that don't show up. They're the ones that give you the grief. So I always say I've never fired anybody. You must have did something wrong and didn't have a job. But I'll tell you what bothered me is the 140 people on Facebook, and let me tell you, names I know, in like officials
that
and
replied
different
to her?
People that replied to her saying, you need to do this against her, and you need to do this and against her. And number one, I'm not even going to respond. I'm not giving this 1 inch of my attention. But I could not believe the people that responded not knowing anything. And even my employees were putting on, this isn't true. They took all the good comments off and only left the bad comments. So at
sure,
because
if they're running that page, they can.
Right. At this point, somebody reached out to one of the administrators and went, you better get your story straight before you, because you're looking at a libel or able suit, which I could care less. You know, I've been in business since 1994. But this is how a person who's under 23 years of old can come on and try their hardest to make a business look bad. And then you have 140 people chime in. And basically all I was like, here's my phone number. My phone number's public. It's on Facebook. You got a question, call me. You're the ones that are bad. The kid's just a kid and stupid. But the people who responded to somebody in a small business, how terrible is that? I mean, just in all my work history, they were the worst. Not as bad as the employee even, who was a terrible employee. We're used to having some employees, but they literally went on, trashed the whole operation that has been going since 1994 so well. And of course, in that time, we might have had two people disgruntled or something that we've dealt with and whatever. And this is a person, too, that I felt so fair. I actually even reached in my pocket and gave her an extra $50 because I thought she had cleaned better than the others, whatever. So, like I said, her could care less about, but the 140 people, shame on them.
But don't you see that? I mean, there are so many things going on. When you look at protests and things that are going on in our country, and then somebody questions the protesters, well, why are you doing this? And they don't even know.
See, and
they fall
thing.
In line with what they hear or what they thought they heard or with what one person said without
no
verifying.
Knowledge.
No,
with
no,
no
verification
knowledge whatsoever.
Or knowledge.
And that's the thing. Here's my phone number. Call me, you know?
But these are people that know you, right?
Some of them, you know, I recognize some of the names as like, you know, like city officials and things like that. I'm like, shame on you guys. Wow. Number one, I'm city and state. The labor board was called me the next day. Thank you. Thank you for making all this happen, because the labor board's like, your ducks are all in a row, because I don't do anything with that. We actually have Elite Tax Services does all my tax stuff. Thank you, Byron. I love that you take care of all my needs, because I don't have time to do stuff like that. We have a whole, you know, company that does that stuff. So believe me, all of our T's are crossed. All of our I's are dotted. Thank you for letting the officials know that that's all done, because I look better now than I did before this happened. But all the same, it was unneeded energy I had to put into a direction.
But my point is, though, that the people that chimed in, okay, that know you should know better if they know you.
Of course, yes. Yes.
They know how you operate. They know how you work.
Correct. And, you know, I feel like I've always had a very good reputation in, you know, in the city, and certainly rapport. I have the same employees, my God, I've had for years. You know, I'm doing the same jobs I've done for years over and over again, annual jobs. But that's what our country's come to. Absolutely. Is we're just going to complain and talk about things we know nothing about.
And we're going to just jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah, we're
going to
jump on the bandwagon. So what does that say about them? You know what I mean? That to me, and that's what's happening all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And So that was my little work thing. I wasn't going to talk about it. When you said that Noelle has a job, I'm like, oh, let's talk about jobs for a minute. Because since COVID, people have just gotten crazy. We had another restaurant, Embers and Oak, downtown. Have you ever ate there?
Yes.
Fine dining.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Very good. How much was your bill that day? Over $100?
So it was Noelle Paxton and I. It was three of us.
Three of us. Over $200?
There was three of us.
Over $300.
Yes.
Yeah.
But let me tell you why. This is funny how we wound up there. It was late after rehearsal or something. And
there's nowhere open.
We're trying to find someplace open. And so you know, want to know why I stopped there? There was a parking space in front.
Oh, see?
And I got out and we went in and then we were like, oh, well, we're here.
So,
but guess what? It was pretty wonderful.
It was pretty wonderful. And I'm here to tell you, yes, it is pricey. And it was pricey. But did you know they closed?
What?
Yes. Another one bites the dust. And I got to tell you, I'm not happy to say that. It is really, really bothering my friends. Now, I didn't know them, but I can tell you that so many of my friends who we've been in the restaurant business together, we've always tried to help each other out. And they can't even sell their restaurants. You know, I sold two restaurants more than four times on one and five times on the other because I can always hold paper and then I get them back. It's like repossessing a car, you know. But the they can't even sell their restaurants.
We were
just
talking
going
about when
business.
We were going to go back.
I know.
Holy
no,
smokes.
You're not going back.
Wow.
So I'm sad to see all these restaurants closing. And I got to tell you, it's the employees. It is. The employees wanting big dollars to do nothing. And this is just the problems we're having in work. So there's my vent on the whole working thing. And restaurants. Now, have you been to Scott's on Fifth?
No, and that's on our list.
You know that's my favorite restaurant.
I know you tell me all the time. That's on our list.
At least once a week, and I took. In fact, on my Facebook page, I had a really bad week.
You get pasta with bolognese sauce.
I do get pasta though. I have to tell you, but it's filet mignon.
Oh. Okay.
Oh yeah, it is, and it's fresh ground filet mignon.
Nice.
And hand selected. I mean, it's very different, but I can tell you, I filet there a lot, and. It's the best pesto you ever had. He makes it better than me. That's all I'm going to say, Scott, is you can make better pesto than me, all right? I won't give in to anything else. But so I'll talk about another subject here, and then we're going to get back to music and that grief and grieving. So this has been a tough week because I know you were with me last year when I lost my partner in crime of 36 years. It's hitting me right now because this is like, literally, I took her off a machine today. This on the 3rd of September, I took her off a machine a year ago, and you lived through. I think I did the orchestra 2 days later with you.
You did
because work has to go on, and but I didn't know it was gonna hit me this hard. So I've had a bad week. So I'm going to apologize to all you out there who have had to put up with my crazy, crazy butt this week. It's been wishy-washy and it's been everything. And I have wonderful, wonderful friends and people praying for me to stay sane.
You know, it's interesting how and when things hit us.
And we just don't know because I can tell you there's a lot of things in my life after you do something for 36 years, it's change. It's all about change. I don't think anybody handles change well. I maybe some, but I haven't met that person. But and it's not that life isn't good now. Life's great right now. I mean, there's things that I'm doing now that I have never done. So they're wonderful. There's wonderful things happening. I've met new people, and everything's great. But the grieving process is just the strangest thing in your head.
And what triggers it?
And
what
triggers
time.
It? Yeah, and I think also because my children, when you can't help your children, you know, because they all grieve it differently, it just kills you. So it's been a tough week. Passed two kidney stones this week. Went to the hospital. It's like I never had that happen either. It has been a crazy week, you guys. Spilled coffee on my shirt this morning. It's been a bad week. So I'm happy to be here. And talking about music, let's go back to music. So this is Noelle. I texted this morning. I said, can you come? Because there's something I want to ask you.
And she said to me, Kim wants me to come, and I can't get off of work.
So, because I know she writes a lot of your shows.
She does. She
a big portion of what you do is a collaboration. And So I had somebody here. It was sort of an interesting show because if you watch the What's Cooking in the, it's not What's Cooking in the 321 Like Us. And let me just put it out there. Keep your comments coming at 321-437-1567. And I do sort of look at them during the show. So I had somebody here because over and over you'll hear somebody say, why do we not have delicatessens? It doesn't have to be a Jewish delicatessen because Jewish is a whole different thing. You got to be kosher and there's different things you want to do. But we do not have that like Carnegie Hall, New York delicatessen.
Or like the Italian delis where there were salamis, yes, were hanging, the cheeses were, yes, hanging. Oh my gosh. As soon
and
as you walked in.
The corned beef sandwich piled like a Dagwood. Yeah. You know, the pastrami, the hot pastrami, the knish. I make a wonderful knish. I know when I grew up outside of Detroit, I used to go to Ben & Jerry's at least once a week. We got corned beef and pastrami. We got our bagels and our matzo ball soup and all these things. So there is a need for it here. Now, I can tell you, I don't really know why it doesn't work here, but there is not one. Anybody that says they're a delicatessen here, do not even text me and say Jason's Deli. Don't do it.
No,
don't
no.
do it. I'm never speaking to you. I'll block you. 2J's was another close second because 2J's used something called National Deli, which is still lunch meat. Jewish and real delicatessens, they boil or bake their corned beef and,
mm-hmm, right there,
and pastrami. That's put on a slicer hot, steamed, and they slice it. Very, very different. Real rye bread, stone ground mustard. I mean, lots goes into real delicatessen food. It doesn't come out of a bag.
No,
okay?
Not at all.
So we had Deli Girl. I'm going to call her Deli Girl. We had Deli Girl on the show. She literally had flown in from Detroit because she was looking at my restaurants and trying to figure out why we don't have delicatessens here. And so we came up with this great idea. This is where you come into play.
Okay.
I know that you have in March a Conductor's Choice. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about all your shows you got coming,
sure,
up. But you do have one in March, Conductor's Choice.
Sure.
Okay. Do you already know what you're doing for that?
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole season is all programmed
out. Oh, that, all right. That changes everything. Okay, so plan.
We have to do that. At the beginning of the year,
I
you have
know.
To program out the whole season.
Okay, so I'm on plan B now.
Okay.
Okay, so there goes plan A. That's okay. Plan B, and I really want to collaborate with this. I would like to get at least the West Wing, and if we could use the main because I like the stage and
right.
what have you. I want to do like a Carnegie Hall dinner and show, and you can play New York, New York music. You can play Carnegie Hall music and, you know, radio New York, New
right,
York
right,
music.
Right, right, right.
And we could do real New York food. What do you think?
That sounds pretty awesome.
Does it? And Deli Girl said she'd fly in. I asked her on the air, Danny, do you remember this? I said, if
yes.
I can get Mark on board with this to do deli music, if you will.
I mean, it had to be some research where I can find
yeah.
arrangements and things like that to do, for
but
sure.
Because there's so many delis. Like, if you want real deli, you got to go to New York City.
Right.
Okay.
Isn't that the same like real diners? Like at 3 o'clock in the morning, finish
yes.
a gig
yeah.
at 3 o'clock
yes.
in the morning, and I could get anything from a sandwich to a roast beef dinner.
Yes, I miss the real diners. I remember in Long Island, we used to eat at one that
Long
it
Island.
Was even a, I think it was a railroad car or something. It was diner. I miss a real diner.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I want to do the real delicatessen food: corned beef, pastrami, knish, you know, the coleslaw, the potato salad, and made. And like I said, she's willing to come in here and do it the real delicatessen way. So I thought we could do music from New York and deli food.
Well, instead of the song Autumn in New York, Deli in New York.
Deli in New York. There you go.
Why does it
See?
Seem so delightful?
So first thoughts, what do you think? Because everybody wants a deli. We could do it on a Sunday afternoon, you know, and bring everybody out. We could put round tables and have people out there even serving because we could do a limited menu. You know, five great deli things. And,
I'll
of course,
be there.
You'll be there. Mm-hmm. See? So what do you think? You want to think about it?
Yeah, it's very
doable.
Oh, it's very intriguing. You know, it's just a matter of me finding the right arrangements, the right literature, how much music.
And I know that you have to pay for music.
Lots of times.
Yeah, you have to pay for music, but I've even went a step further and talked to Patty at the auditorium where you're housed right now and where you mm-hmm. do your shows, and she thinks that's a great idea. And I think it would just, we just had, on Sunday, we did the Jimmy Buffett in the park.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, we had 200 and some people there.
Nice.
It was a great day. You know, it was a little soggy a little bit. It did stop raining for the band to come out. People embraced it. They said they had a great time. I think that this could be wonderful. And we could have good food.
Very intriguing.
Very intriguing. Okay. Yeah. So we have to think about that.
Would we be able to get because we're only given 14 days for concerts, which is another whole story.
I know. We have that whole thing. How's that going? Tell me, can we talk about it on the air, how it's going with, because let's tell people, you get so many days in the auditorium. And the auditorium, if I'm not mistaken, was put there to provide a service.
Right. At one point, you know, the city used to give us money, us and MMB, they would give us, you know, some sort of stipend or whatever. It was never enough to cover the auditorium costs, so we would have to try to kick in more money just to cover the auditorium. Then somebody in the city got really smart, and of course this is my humble opinion. Wednesdays and Thursdays were not big days where the auditorium is getting rented out.
Right. Correct.
So
very rarely.
So
is there something in there then?
If we give them Wednesdays and Thursdays, now we no longer have to give them that financial sum. We'll let them use the auditorium on days that probably were not going to be used anyway. And then the only thing that the city's really paying for is the people who are there, you know, the brothers,
yeah,
and Patty, whatever, who needs to be there. And then of course, then you have the right, and then you have the option of being there for something else. So we have 14 days, or even.
So I just had an epiphany.
Epiphany.
I can never say that. Okay. Let's put it out there right now, okay? We could get some businesses and folks to donate. We'll rent the space. And then we'll put all the money we make, other than we got to cover the food and that, as a donation to the orchestra. Let's get some peeps to come in and help pay for the Sunday. And we won't even have to get them. What do you think, Mark?
Even more intriguing. It's just going to take some time for me to put stuff together and get with my, I mean, the board that we have now is so progressive compared to 7-8 years ago. I mean, they want to do things. You know, we still have planned to go to the Oaks Theater again, that we pay to rent it to do a concert for kids because we think it's important to do that for the community. So if something could be worked out where we could do something like this and with community support, I mean, as these next coming months, we're going to need some community support for the orchestra, because there's just some underlying things that are going on right now.
So let's just put it out there and see what people say. Already people are texting. And I'm going to apologize because I'm having a cough attack here because COVID's going around again.
Right. I thought you just didn't want to share that candy.
No, I'm telling you, it's like this week has been terrible. I certainly don't have COVID because every time I feel the sniffles, I do a COVID test just because I'm always cooking for people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you've known people too. They're going overseas.
It's interesting, Krista, when we had our about 5-week hiatus from our last concert to now planning for this one, people who went over to Europe or went to Latin America, different places, they're coming back with another form of COVID. And they're saying that it hit them worse than when they had COVID when it first came out. I don't know. So they're staying away, you know, so we've had, I want to say more than a handful of people who have not been able to come to rehearsals because of COVID.
And I can tell you the 4th of July was very ill. They didn't tell me it was COVID. It was the bird flu. If you remember, I think I was... Mm-hmm.
That's always the excuse when they don't know it's the bird flu.
I know. That,
right?
What is
They've been
the
doing
bird
that
flu?
For years.
I told people, my son does these crazy, he's like a human bio thing, and he would go in there. They gave them $2,400. And you don't know if you really got it or didn't get it. Like some get water or whatever. I don't know what it is. But he did because he got this nice little rash on his face. And I said, oh, there you go. I said something about bird flu, that peck or something. I remember I'd say, I won't repeat it on the air, but I said, stop doing these things. So when they told me I had bird flu, I was like, you got to be kidding. But survived that one. But no, even one of my employees is in Tokyo right now. She went over to Japan, and on the plane, she got so sick that her first text was, remind me to never travel again. Remind me to never do this. I'm so ill. So
no, my sister says traveling in a plane is like traveling in a test tube.
So I believe that because that is how I got it. Was I did a wedding, and everybody that came off the plane from wherever they came from, they were sick. And
you just need to do local weddings.
Yeah, you know what? I loved your wedding. I did talk about this on the radio before because Mark asked me to cater a party at his house, and then before we actually got to that party, he said, "I'm really getting married. You're coming." But it was so cool because you did a home housewarming party.
Right. That's what we said it was.
And then your beautiful bride went upstairs, came down, and it was beautiful. That was the coolest thing. Did anybody know you were getting married that day? I mean, I know there was a couple you had to get in town, but I mean, did the people there think that they were there for a different, because I don't think,
no,
I think they were shocked.
Like 98% of the people, my daughter figured it out, you know, she was running upstairs and helping Noelle.
And Noelle's mom was a little angry.
Oh, wait a minute. She's
oh,
still
no.
angry.
Oh, that's not a good thing for
no,
a monster.
No, she's still angry. It's like, how come Elizabeth knew? It's like, no, she figured it out. How come you didn't tell? Well, yeah.
Oh, my God. She asked me.
Somebody's in the doghouse then.
Yeah. She asked me if I knew. And, you know, of course, I'll never tell. But I just said, well, I had to get the food right. So this week on Wednesday, September 4th, and Thursday, September 5th, the Melbourne Community Orchestra is going to be at the auditorium, Melbourne Auditorium on Hibiscus. What's the show? What can you give us a preview?
Yes, well, there are. Last time I was on the show, I couldn't talk about our season because we had not had our reveal party.
Oh, yes,
yet.
That's right.
We have the reveal party. And it was great because we started this. This is our third reveal party. It started out just in the rehearsal hall, in the band room, so to speak. And there was maybe half the orchestra would show up. Now our donors are even coming to the reveal party. So that's kind of fun.
That's pretty cool.
And of course, the audience can't see this, but here's the program. Our whole season is Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
So who came up with that idea, right? Our story writer,
Noelle.
Right? And, you know, music speaks to us all different ways. You know, when I emotionally get involved with the music and it conjures up an image for me. For Noelle, every piece of music she plays, she creates a story in her head.
Yeah.
And that just works for her to perform better, to be more connected to the music. So every concert is going to be some sort of story. The first one is the story of water.
Okay.
Where does water come from? Where does it go? Where does it flow to? And so we have music that's going to depict all these different
things.
So
this is going to be like a zen night?
Perhaps.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's got to start with.
So what's this week? Is that the water?
That's it. The story of water.
Okay.
And then in October will be, we normally would do some sort of Halloween type theme.
Yeah.
This is going to be heroes and villains.
Okay. Oh, that'll be cool.
So we'll have some literature that will represent heroes and then other things that represent villains.
Okay.
Like we'll do the John Williams Superman March.
Okay.
And then do some sort of incantation from some evil person, you know. And so we're going to play that back and forth against each other. I'm sort of talking about our whole season. In November, we do the Music Makers of Tomorrow, where we'll be over in the Oaks Theater, where we rent out the theater. And it's just an important thing for kids to hear. And it's interesting that the music that we're going to be playing for that.
Now, Mark, what is that exactly? So you're at the Oaks Theater. When you say the theater, are you in one of the movie theaters?
We're in one of the movie theaters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the movie
and
theater.
And we're in front of the screen. The public school kids get to go see BSO in a concert, Brevard Symphony Orchestra.
And, okay.
And the school system buses the kids over. But those private school kids or those homeschool kids by the way, that there's a lot of since COVID, a lot more homeschool kids and private school kids. They don't have that opportunity.
Right.
So we thought that we would do that. And by the way, we get a lot of public school kids also. I think the first year, maybe we had 50 kids. This past year, over 200.
Okay.
And we show a film that has to do with the music. Like we did the Bugs, the Bunny of Seville. So it's actually the Barbara Seville music while we played the Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Oh, wow.
Which, by the way, if you watch the cartoon, it's the exact music.
Oh, wow.
From
that's
the Barbara
cool.
Seville. So
that's awesome that you are allowed to play that.
Yeah. So
my gosh, with Epcot and all that. Yeah.
So this year we're doing the Young People's Guide to the Orchestra.
Okay.
And there's a storybook that goes along with it. And we're all, and by the way, you talked about paying for music. We have to rent that.
Yeah. I don't think people understand how much money
it's $650 just to rent that one piece. And then we're paying, well, we would normally pay $1,400 for the theater, but they raised their price. But they're going to give us an extra room that we probably won't use. I mean, so we're talking almost $2,000 plus the over $600 for the piece. And we're okay because we just think it's important for students. It's important for those kids to get that opportunity. We also have an instrument petting zoo where in between that first piece and the second piece, kids get to touch instruments, get to try playing them. And then the second piece, let's see if I test your memory. The second piece is Tubby the Tuba. Do you remember that cartoon?
I do.
And people said,
a little before my time.
Right,
but
people, me too. But people said, well, you can't play that piece. And I said, why not? Well, the word Tubby's in it. I'm like, seriously? So we're playing Tubby the Tuba, which features our outstanding tuba player, Eric Lee. And then, of course, we brings us around to December, and that's one of our favorite ones. It was pajama holidays.
I love that.
And now it's
everybody
a holiday pajama jam because
you know what? I love that everybody showed up there in their matching pajamas, though. We had families in their matching pajamas.
Oh,
and
my
it
gosh,
was cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It was very cool.
And so we're going to do that, and that's going to be a lot. And there's going to be a sing-along involved with it this year also because
cool.
those little kids wanted to sing along.
Okay.
And then normally the end of January we would do the conductor's choice, but there's such little turnaround time because of people being gone and everything. So we're going to do a lighter concert.
Okay.
And so that's going to be Tales from the Mouse, the Disney
so
Vault.
So that'll be good.
The Disney Vault Unlocked.
That will absolutely
and,
be good.
And so we're actually renting some of the original scores from the Disney company to play for that.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be all Disney.
Wow.
And,
I love that.
I mean, so we're hoping that the kids who were there at the holiday concert, hey, come back because our next concert's going to be
And I do
Disney.
Love when it's songs I know.
Sure. Oh, you'll know all those.
I can tell you our phones are blowing up, though. This is a good
okay.
thing.
Okay. The one in March is the conductor's choice.
Mm-hmm.
But the one everybody wants to hear about is the May Mysteries.
Yeah. And that was so much fun. Oh, my gosh. The mystery show. It was like a, what is that, Sleuth's Diner?
Yeah, it was the game of Clue.
Yeah.
Well,
that was so cool.
And the funny thing is, you know, and again, Noel wrote the script. We had Alfie Silver, who just does great impersonations, doing his Peter Falk Columbo type thing. And I'm always somehow written into the story. In the first one, I was Conductor Brassoli, but of course the inspector was calling me Brasshole instead of Brassoli. Well, then the next year when we did the Pirates of the Caribbean, I was Admiral Brassoli.
That's so.
But
funny.
According to Jack Sparrow, I was Brasshole. And I have to tell you a funny story. I might have told last time I was on the show. I went to a dance recital maybe about a month after our season ended. And I'm at this dance recital, watch the dance recital, and I'm up on the second level, and there's a big aisle there. And at the end, a family stands up, and they turn around. And when I say a family, grandchildren, parents, grandparents. And when I stood up, they turned around, and the father salutes me and says, Admiral Brassoli. And I was like, and they're all standing there. I'm like, wow, this has gone viral. That, you know,
that's
and I didn't know what to say, so I said, at ease, because they're all standing at attention.
That's
but
hilarious.
Isn't it amazing? So this year, it's Medieval Mayhem.
Medieval Mayhem.
Medieval, and it's a mystery, but there will be a story involved. You know, think of medieval times. Think of knights. Think of dragons. Yeah, the whole nine
so
yards.
So the kids will love that, too.
Oh, of course,
yes.
Of course.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then our last one is Frontier Fantasies. Well, also the American Frontier and songs from that that you'll recognize.
Okay.
Including
like old folk songs?
No, including Good and Bad and Ugly. Songs you'll recognize. So, I mean, we're just excited about the season. You know, and again, our flyers say, once upon a time, let us tell you a story.
So
because there'll
I
be a story
it.
That goes with everything.
I love it. And I hope people will come out and just come once. Because when you come once, you're going to be hooked. You're going to be hooked. Yeah, so just come once. As always, you know who makes it possible for us to be here? And that is Melbourne Seafood Station.
Yes.
So everybody's getting on the Taco Tuesday thing. Do you like tacos?
I do.
So now even Melbourne
Doesn't necessarily
Seafood,
need to be Tuesday, but yes.
Melbourne Seafood is got tacos now.
Oh.
And,
gotta be fish tacos, I guess.
So at the Palm Bay Road location of Melbourne Seafood Station, they have shrimp and mahi tacos on Tuesdays for $12. All locations are doing 20% off for teachers. Let's see. But Taco Tuesday, and then also for this month, the whole month of September, they have rock shrimp. It is back, a whole basket of rock shrimp for $18 a basket.
Wow.
Please go into one of the Melbourne Seafood Stations. Tell them that Kim and Mark today
right, that you heard
sent
it here.
You from WWBC, that you heard it here, and stop in and tell them, hey, I'm here because I heard about you on the radio. And I'm give that a try. We got a couple things going down in
you
our
said,
favorite
You said your
place.
Phone's blowing up.
Our phone is. We're getting all kinds of
is that guy back
people
again?
Asking for, yeah, getting all kinds of questions. And the delicatessen thing, I got to tell you, it looks like everybody wants a deli day. What kind of music do you think that would be? Like when you think New York, what music comes to mind? Do you think like because they have the opera and the symphony and all that there, or do you think like,
no, I'm thinking Sinatra.
Yes,
D. Martin.
That's me too.
I'm
Rat
thinking
Pack.
Sammy Davis Jr.,
yep.
Who's one of my favorites, or you know, Italian type music or klezmer music. You know, God, there was an Italian deli and a Jewish deli in town. Not necessarily in my neighborhood because my neighborhood was a little rough, but in the Jewish deli, they had a pickle barrel. They had a
yes,
barrel with dill
yes,
pickles
yes.
in
oh,
it.
Oh, we need to have the big pickle
oh
barrel, too.
Oh, my gosh. It was so good.
We definitely need to. Oh, you know what? Check this out. So I am like Rachel Maddow, okay? Somebody just texted me and called me. This is important. I am so glad that I can put this out there. Let's do the rumor, bud, and I'm going to apologize for getting on that rumor bandwagon. I've heard you are closing, is this true, Ember and Oak? They're saying, and I'm putting this out there to everybody, we're absolutely not closing and are disgusted that our local paper, Florida Today, chose to mislead the community with predatory and irresponsible journalism. Please help us to spread the word that we are not closing.
Oh.
So I can tell you I was by there the other night and they were closed, but obviously there's another issue.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hold on to that. And I got to tell you, Ember and Oak, if you're listening, come on the show. Come on the show and let's straighten up all the rumors. I myself saw you close the other night, so I can tell you with my own eyes you were closed. But all I was saying was I was sad they were closing.
Yeah, me too.
Because I also heard about it Florida Today. But by all means, listeners, please know that Embers and Oaks is telling me themselves that they're not closing. So that makes me very, very happy because I get so sad when another restaurant person closes, and I apologize that I don't know you personally. Because I felt like I knew so many in this area that own restaurants. But by all means, I'm giving you a come on the show. No, we're not charging for airtime, Danny. They can come on the show.
Right.
They can talk for as long as they want, the whole hour if they want, and tell people what's going on. So Ember and Oaks, I'm going to look for what is going on with Ember and Oaks and get the skinny on that. And I'm so glad you're not not closing. So, Jennifer, thank you for relaying that to me. That's important. Thank you so much. We do got the Pride Fest coming to downtown. You know, that's been a controversial issue for a long time. I can tell you that it starts at the Melbourne Auditorium.
Oh, really?
Starts in our parking lot. A lot of people come to it. It's a beautiful, wonderful, non-judgmental, everybody's welcome day to come out. They're doing it September 28th, Saturday. The parade starts at 11 o'clock. It starts at the Melbourne Auditorium. They parade through the streets and into downtown Melbourne. And then there's downtown festivities going on the whole time. I can tell you there was a big controversy last year. We had even our mayor, Alfrey, I got to tell you, he did a fabulous job of not listening to people that were being judgmental. And he said, you know what, we're gonna let everybody do this. They have a right to be here also. So,
do you know the mayor very well?
You know, I do not. But I can tell you, I was sort of proud of him that day that he stood his ground and he wasn't taking the hits from all the people that were putting him down. And he goes, listen, this is all good. Cause I know that my own 9-year-old, she was 9 at the time, was out there having storybooks read to her by people dressed different. Mm-hmm. And it was good. It was good reading. And it was great stories for children to hear. And there wasn't one thing wrong with it. If it's wrong for your child, well, then don't come. But don't judge those who are there. So I'm looking forward to that. The queen of Trans Soul, Miss Kelly, is going to be there. And we've got just a whole bunch of stuff going on downtown. At the Hotel Melby is also, they've got stuff going on down there. So we've got that. On this weekend, we have the craft fair. I'm going to talk about that in just a second because I want to tell you first that we've got the MMB is going to be there doing weather of all kinds. They're there on September 19th. Will I be there? No, I don't think so. I don't think I come for that one, but all the same. But we're looking for people, just as we're looking now for people to donate and participate for mine and Mark's joint creation here. We need to get some people to pay for that room for us to rent if we do this. But we also still looking for some the Halloween Spooktacular at the auditorium. It's an indoor trick-or-treat Saturday, October 26th, 10 to 2. Collect candy from 50 businesses, organizations, and various city departments. Amazing Halloween decorations. Food and beverage are available by me. I'm going to be there, and we're still looking. It's a great time. Mark, are you going to be there? You're going to have a booth? You're going to come out that day?
I know that it was brought up to the board. I don't know what happened with after you and I talked, I brought it up.
I think it's a really good day. You have just thousands and thousands of people come in, because I have to tell you, you have to bring 3,000 pieces of candy. But at the same time, how wonderful it is. First of all, it's indoors. It's not the outdoor trick-or-treat. We're all indoors, and we all have a nice table. And everybody can see who you are and what you are. And it's a great time because the parents walk with their kids and they sort of trough them in. And so it's that many thousands of people seeing who the Melbourne Orchestra is. And the community orchestra, I think that would be a great thing. Certainly welcome. And I'll say put him by me because we're partners. We're partners over here.
We are.
We've got the same thing. We've got the Holiday Market and Snowfest Kids Zone. That's Friday, November 22nd, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. This is a snow slide, meet Santa, cookie decorate. It's $5. It's at the auditorium. You know, I was so disappointed because I don't know if you guys know how long it takes to make sauerbraten, but 5 days, okay? Five days minimum. Yes, you have to soak juniper berry and all these different spices. You soak these briskets and then you cook them and you make sauerbraten and you know, you got these big old roasts. It's hard to do, and we sold 10. Nobody wanted spätzle. I made spätzle, a nice German
I love spätzle. A
nice German Christmas dinner, and 10 people ordered it. They didn't even try it. It's like, come on, people, it's Christmas.
So
I'm hoping this year, I don't know what I'm going to do food-wise for that holiday market. But again, if you give a call to the auditorium, 608-7420, That's in the 321 zip code or area code. If you give them a call, they can certainly use you for the holiday market and Snowfest. Now, that brings me to the craft fair. I have a commercial here today for the craft fair. And they were going to be on the show today. Let me just do this right. Let's see. Mark, tell everybody what time you open, though, this weekend. I forgot to tell them.
Yes, we'll be opening up with the Brass Quintet, the Melbourne Community Orchestra Brass Quintet, that features yours truly playing trumpet in it. That will be at 6:15. The doors will open. The concert starts at 7. Now, when the doors open, Miss Kim's already got some stuff cooking.
That's
there.
Right.
So people, you can grab something to eat beforehand. And then during intermission, we'll give you plenty of time to get there again. It's one of our great partnerships, and we just love it. I can't say enough about it, and she can't say enough about it either. I mean, it just works really well.
I love the night. I just love it.
It just works really well. Yeah, so that's our story of water. And I guess the next time I'm on the show will be October 15th. That's a Tuesday.
That's good.
That's before my next concert.
So hopefully we can talk about deli food.
Absolutely.
And delicatessen.
Well, let's hope that concert comes off and we have a place to play.
Absolutely.
Rehearse.
So, you know what? We need to get people involved, though. We need to get more donations in, and we need to get, please come in this Wednesday or Thursday. Are you coming, Danny?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Good, good. I'm going to throw out some neat food this week. I love the whole dinner. You know, I'm all about dinner and music show. This weekend, though, on the 7th, we have from 10 to 3, we have the craft fair. This is a summer craft and vendor event. It's open to the public from 10 to 3. She put, thank you so much. They're looking forward to seeing us. I'm glad that she gave me so much information on the craft fair. Please go to Melbourne Craft Fair and pick up the information on that. Appreciate that commercial there. too funny. But we've got some other stuff. I know that Harley Davidson, you know, one of our sponsors here, they closed the Palm Bay. They did not close the Palm Bay. They've closed their location up north, but the Palm Bay location is absolutely open. We've got some big things coming up from Space Coast Harley Davidson, and we're going to be keeping you posted
on
them. They
do great things for the community in the parking lot. Really
they sure do, and next week we're going to be talking about Harley Davidson big time. So hopefully I can get them on the show even. That's my goal. We've got on Friday, October 18th, we've got an adult flashlight pumpkin hunt. That is an event by the City of Melbourne Parks and Rec, 1440 Mosswood Drive in Melbourne. It's just getting started, so I'm going to absolutely get you more info on that. It's from 8 to 10. We do the Easter egg, adult Easter egg hunt, and I have to tell you, I love it. I love having a flashlight on my head, first of all, and looking for anything. It's just fun. Who wouldn't like that? We also have, I'm just going to talk about a little bit, tomorrow at 8:59, the SpaceX Falcon 9 Starlink rocket launch. Do you like rocket launches?
I still love them.
I do.
And you're on beachside just like me. Boy,
I am.
You hear the rumble, you run outside. Yep.
Yep. At 3 o'clock today, I'm going to look at a condo. I'm moving back to the ocean. It's one of them frivolous, stupid things that I'm just not even giving thought to. I'm just going to do it. And SpaceX on Friday at 3:38, SpaceX Crew Dragon Polaris. Yeah, you could see them from your house, I'm sure, really well. I know I can from mine. We've got the Full Moon Drum Circle September 17th. I have to tell you, I can look at both of you and know that you never went to that. But when there's a full moon coming up, there is hundreds of people on the beach with drums playing nonstop. You might appreciate this drumming for hours for the full moon. It's a Full Moon Drum Circle. It's Tuesday, September 17th. At 6, it starts at 6, goes to 8:30. And I've got to tell you, it's at Nance Park. Right there by the boardwalk where Bizarro's Pizza is. And I will definitely be there because I don't miss them because my kids love it.
Are you bringing your drum?
You know what? I've been known to drum. I can tell you, my kids were actually out there hula hooping with the hula hoops that had noise in them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty impressed because these guys do not stop drumming. They drum until the moon rises. And, you know, with...
What time does it start?
6:30. And, you know, you always got to check and see when that moon is rising. But I'm telling you, it's fun for all. There's a lot. There's a lot of drummers. It is a circle. It is a circle of people. They make a big circle in the sand. Right. Everybody puts their chairs, blankets, whatever, and they sit around it. No alcohol. I said, oh, if only I could take my alcohol permit down there. We had drumming people drinking. That would be even more fun. But it is people get into the circle, dance, hula hoop. Listen, it is good fun. It is good fun. You will never hear me put down the dancers and the drummers for our full moons. And I have to tell you,
I partake. Same type beat, or is it just improvise, everyone's just playing something?
For some reason, it's like they have, like they're reading music. I mean,
they lock into a beat and they just...
They lock into a beat and they keep doing it. It changes throughout, you know, sporadically through the night. It changes a little bit, but for the better part, it stays on. It's probably one of the different, I'm going to just use the word different, things that we do in Indy Atlantic, but it's certainly...
At Nance Park.
Yes. I believe that... Sherry that is at Aquarian Dreams, I think, has some kind of part in that, but it is always fun and something that I don't miss. Jennifer, thank you so much also for sending me stuff. You know that I appreciate everything you do. We've got a couple more things. Something that I want to do big time. I finally went to Playa Linda. How do you say it? Playa Linda Beach. There's a bioluminescent paddleboard tours. Have you seen this blue water?
You know something? Noelle's mother and sister just went on it.
Okay, and I haven't done it yet. Have you, Danny? We have to do this. We have to do this. Today at 8:30 to 10, there's paddleboard tours, but I can tell you, if you just Google bioluminescent paddle tours, I've got Donna Grigsby. I want to thank you because you always are sending me different places that they're doing that. I'm going to go on that so that I can talk about it on the show because it's just one of those things that looks so cool.
There's one in Merritt Island. I want to say in the Merritt Island area.
Yeah, Merritt Island and up Titusville area. But Danny has gave us the bunny fingers a little bit ago. We just ignored him, Mark, because you could talk for hours.
Well, yeah, because people have held up fingers to us before.
That's right.
And we've ignored that
now
finger.
Now he's giving us the middle finger, and we don't care.
We just keep going.
Listen, Mark, thank you for coming on the show. And I'm throwing stuff here in the studio.
No, if you have me, I'll be back in October.
Yes, no, we're coming back every time before the show because we catch everybody up. Thanks for listening, Kim and Mark at WWBC. What's cooking in 3-2-1? Danny, we're out.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Well, look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless.